Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by you because That Story Show is listener supported. Join the community today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
This episode of That Story Show is brought to you by St. John's Guano. When you can't fly away, but you don't have it in you to stay.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is James Kennison, and this is That Story Show, where we are telling hilarious real-life stories and inviting you to do the same. This is episode 297, brought to you the week of May the 16th, 2019. Like I said, my name is James Kennison, and welcome back to the show, Austin Reason.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Good to have you back. I hope you've been doing well, and John is sending out his apologies to everyone that he can't make it, but
he should.
John's so awesome though that we had to replace him not with just one co-host or guest host, but two. I'd like to welcome to the show for the first time, Janusz Strzpekalekalamalamadingdong. Welcome.
Hi. Glad to be here.
Now, let's just settle this once and for all. How the freak do you say your name?
All right. It's Janusz Strzpek.
Strzpek? I've been saying Strzpek for and thinking I was
like a
right.
Like a decade.
Yes.
You said it right once, I think.
Yeah, I did last week. I said it right because you finally like spelled it out phonetically for me on the internet.
And now the important question, Janusz, is how many ways have you heard it wrong? Or what's your favorite wrong way of saying your last name?
Oh, it's the ways James has said it, is clearly. The collection, I think it was, there's an episode in the past where I collected all of them.
And played,
as a sound clip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have them saved on my phone, ready to show people.
That's labeled fantastic.
And people always crack up.
James, you're a conversation starter at Janusz's parties now.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I'm glad I could be of service.
We were talking a little before the show. My last name has the opposite problem. My last name is Reason, which is easy to say, but no one is willing to spell. It's not even that they can't spell it right. It's that they're not willing.
I think it's one of those names people don't believe is real. It sounds like a superhero alter ego. Hi, I'm Austin Reason, but by night I'm Logic Man.
Dallas Logic. Yeah. So the last name is Reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell that? I say like the word.
Yeah.
And they say Reason.
Yeah.
And I say, no,
like
that's
the candy.
That's the chocolate. Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great candy, by the way. But I say, no, reason like logic. And they go, oh, so like.
Now they can't spell reason because they forgot how. Yeah.
One of the funny things, I mean, you know, I grew up with this name, so it's not weird to me.
Right.
And then my entire life, every time I introduce myself for the first time, there has to be the conversation about, no, that's literally my name. It's not a stage name or something like that. It's not my superhero alter ego or anything.
Wow. No, it's just one of those names. It's just people aren't used to hearing that word in that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. And for me,
that's, like Reasington would be something you would expect, or Renson. You know, you wouldn't question that, but reason, and everybody's like, okay, what's the deal here? What is the literal reason his name is Reason?
That's the second thing. That's the second thing is, heaven help me, if it's anywhere after Halloween, the first thing out of somebody's mouth is, oh, are you the reason for the season?
Oh, gosh. Here, I'm going to use my new sound effect for that one.
Yeah, I need that on my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So whenever somebody tries to read it, they have the opposite problem where they go, it's like you said, it fries their brain. They're like, it can't just be reason. It must be, he must have misspelled his own name. Is it Redson?
Redson.
I get Reasoner all the time.
People do it with my name. You know, it's Kennison. It's not a super popular name. I don't really care for it. But people are like Kenderson, Kinson, Kinniston, Kensington. I mean, everything. I'm like, it's Kensington. Right there. It's Ken-o-son. It's really dorky sounding. It's very
easy. I like James Kensington.
I would prefer that. And I always get, are you related to Sam Kennison? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Because first of all, I'm adopted. I was born James Lewis Rogers, and my mom wanted all our last names to be my stepdad. So we were adopted. Right. And secondly, he spells it completely different. It's like K-I-N-S-O-N or something like that. So, and he's dead. So even if I was related, there would be no real reason. Oh, sorry. To claim the fame.
Strezpek is spelled S-T-R-Z-E-P-E-K.
Strezpek.
So that, yes, Strezpek is how it kind of looks.
Strzepek.
Yeah. And man, it's basically pronounced like that first Z and E are flipped.
Right, right.
Well, it's like Brett Favre. Is Brett Favre?
Yeah.
That's what I've started trying to tell people that to see if they get it. They don't seem to get it.
Well, my sisters have the opposite problem. They have names that sound normal but have alternate spellings by default.
Oh, yeah.
Leanne can be spelled multiple ways, but she spells it L-E-E space A-N-N. There could be an A-N-N-E. They could be all one word. It could be L-E-I-G-H-A-N-N-E. I mean, there's a million ways to spell Leanne. And then Amy, my sister, A-M-Y being the most popular, is an A-I-M-E-E. So, it's a mess. So where are you guys calling from? Reason, where are you at?
I am still in Dallas, Texas, but I am fixing to move. I'm still going to be in Dallas, but we're just moving down the street.
Oh.
So, here in Dallas, Texas for the last 2 years.
Well, I hope we can hear you from there if we have you on the show again. So from down the street.
Right, yeah, we're going to be switching from AT&T to Spectrum Internet. So I should have even faster speeds.
Good. Good deal. And Yanish, where are you hailing from today?
I'm in Westminster, Colorado, which is halfway between Boulder and Denver.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know that city is because it's close to other cities. I live in a city you don't have to do that with. And so
St. Louis.
St. Louis. You know, everybody's like, oh.
I currently do. It's been really weird not having over the last 2 years not having to explain what I mean when I say where I live.
Yeah.
Tiny little town called Johnsonville, North Carolina.
Ooh.
And yeah, exactly. so small, we didn't have a post office.
Johnsonville's
so small. The mail had to come.
Wow. Yeah, I used to live in Boulder.
Oh, but gosh, Boulder. Now everything's wrong.
Yep. John,
let's move on. Oh, man, we always start with an opening story. This one's sent to us from Keith Helsley, another great listener. After riding bikes for half my young life, I was probably in the third grade when I got my first 10-speed bike. I felt it was about time since I'd actually been riding bikes without training wheels since I was 4 years old. He said, must have been a smart kid. I suppose my parents also agreed, but I had to learn some important differences between riding my old single-speed bike and this new one. For starters, to shift speeds, I would need to stop pedaling, coast shift, and start pedaling again. See, I never did it that way, guys. I didn't know that was the way to do it. When I read the email, I was like, that's interesting, because I always enjoyed pedaling the entire time and hearing the chain rattling on the gears back there.
Oh, that's how you did it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't change, will it?
Well, I guess, but he's presenting it like there's a three-step process, and for me, it was just shift. And yeah. finally, it's harder to pedal, you know. But anyway, he said, cool, I can handle that. I could barely wait to ride across town to show off my bike to my friend. One other new thing to get used to was the handbrakes. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus, yes. With the shifter attached to my back tire, you also couldn't attach a coaster brake. You had to use a handbrake, one for the back tire, one for the front. Cool. It made it seem all the much closer to riding a motorcycle. I never thought of it that way, but yeah, you got your brakes and stuff. So all the way across town, I practiced shifting speeds, enjoying the new ability of being able to freely pedal backwards, which is the awesomest thing about 10-speed bikes when you're a kid, is mm-hmm. being able to casually do that. The other awesome thing is being able to let go of the handlebars and steer without your hands. That comes later, though.
And only the cool kids can do that.
That's right.
I'm not cool, apparently. I never got that far.
Shirtless, long-haired guys with mustaches can also do it, you know, in shorts.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, he said, and I didn't have to worry about those coaster brakes. He's talking about, you know, the ones that you pedal backwards and the ones little kids always forget about and just try to put their feet down. Nobody actually told me how to use the handbrakes. But how hard could it be? When I approached the intersection, I gave the lever near my right hand a squeeze. The back brake brought me to a smooth stop. Simple, but it was noticeably slower than my coaster brake on my other bike. I guess I would just have to get used to it and allow more distance to stop. After showing my bike off to my friend, it was time to go home, and the ride was mostly unremarkable until something ran out of the bushes alongside the road and zoomed across the street right in front of me. I don't recall what it was. Probably a cat. All I know is I had to react fast. I squeezed the brakes, both of them, hard. Let me freeze time for a moment. The reason the back brakes feel mushy is because when they clamp down and the tire stops turning, the rest of the weight of the bike and the rider are supported by the front tire. We're getting a science minute here. However, when the front brake clamps down and the front tire stops turning, all the momentum of the bike and the rider keep moving forward. When an immovable wheel designed to sprint freely on its axis, well, it keeps spinning freely and the rest of the bike rotates right along, open over its axis. Okay, science class over. Let's unfreeze time. So
thanks, he says, Bill Nye. That was an amazing breakdown.
I know, man. I'm smarter already. So yeah. There I was laying in the middle of the street, freshly flung over the handlebars, looking up at the bright blue summer sky, wondering how in the world I got there. One moment, riding down the street, the next, having the entire field of vision replaced with nothing but sky. Did I appreciate my unexpected science lesson? Of course not. I got up, I looked around to make sure nobody saw me learning my science lesson, and got back on my bike, rode home, and never told anybody about it until now. Well, aren't we lucky? Keith Helsley, thank you so much for sending that. Awesome.
Thank you, Keith.
Man, I know what he's talking about. I don't know that I ever flipped over the handlebars, but I know that back tire came up off the ground at least once or twice in my life.
I've done that a handful of times, but one time I was riding through my neighborhood and some friends were playing with a basketball and it got away from them and it started rolling across the street way down in front of me. I'm gonna zoom down there and stop it because it was fixing to, it was going to run down a hill and, you know, get away from him. I said, let me help him out. And I, so I sped up to get there. Right about the point of no return, I realized this was the worst idea I've had in a long, long time. And so I somehow thought that if I got there in time, I could bounce the ball off of my front wheel. I don't know how I thought I was going to pull off that timing.
That's a cool move, man.
Would have been amazing.
That would have been sweet.
If I'd have pulled it off.
But you'd have been scraping girls off of you for years.
No, so I sped up to get there, and then I realized this is a terrible idea. So I started to slow down to let it go in front of me. And that apparently was when I calculated it exactly to hit my front tire. But it hit my front tire right as I went over a patch of like sand. All sand that gathers in the rain.
Yes.
And I skidded out as soon as I hit that thing and went down with my right elbow just into the the like asphalt gravel sand. All my body weight on the one elbow.
Man.
Oh my goodness. So it was cool, but just not, you know, for the right.
Not intentionally. Yeah. Not like.
right.
Oh gosh. Ooh. Yeah. Bikes are the, you know, they're wonderful at that age because they are literally the freest you will ever be.
They are freedom.
And, but that they are also the most dangerous things to put a kid on.
Oh, I learned that going head over heels over your bicycle is called an endo.
Oh, really?
Because you're end over end.
End over end.
Yeah. There was a brewery / bike shop called Endo.
I was going to say, it sounds like a trick when you say it that way. Like, look, guys, I'm going to do a cool trick. I'm going to do an endo.
Endo
put him in the hospital. No. Anyway, yeah. It's crazy.
A brewery and bike shop?
Yeah, I know. It was weird. I didn't.
Oh, you want to hear something weird? Not a block from my house is a bar and a haircut place mixed together. It's a woman's salon with a full bar. And I don't know what they're thinking. I'm not a drinker, but if I were, I would not be wanting whiskers and hair particles floating around my drink.
No, everyone's must have like the little sippy cup lids.
You're going to have your whiskey and your little shot in a little sippy cup. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the hair out.
I don't know how it's going to work out for them, but
it's definitely becoming a thing around here though, is everybody is serving alcohol everywhere now. So you go to the nail salon and they offer you a wine or you go there. There's these barber shops that offer you a shot of whiskey while you're getting your hair cut.
I get that, but this place literally is trying to be 100% bar and 100% salon at the same time. And
that's too much.
I can't imagine on a Friday night, you know, a bunch of friends going out like, you know, I feel like getting a little snockered and I want to get my hair done. So let's all go out and do that. You know, it's just mixing alcohol with getting your hair done does not seem like a wise thing. There's got to be a designated decider that says, no, that style would not look good on you. You have to trust me and you have to give me your keys. So,
and, yeah, that's right.
But anyway, we have some news. I want to mention something I mentioned at the beginning of the show last week. June 29th is Narthex Con. That's what we're going to call it this year anyway.
Yes!
It's going to be a live recording of That Story Show and our sister show, Red School Bus. And a meet and greet and Q&A time. We're going to have giveaways. It's right here in St. Louis, South City at the Melvin Theater. It's absolutely free for all ages. If you want to come, just let me know. We have an event on the Facebook page if you want to go there. But what I need you to do is go to nlcast.com on the very, very top of the page. Click register now and let me know who you're bringing. And we're going to just have a blast. And I hope a lot of folks will come. I know some folks have already booked their plane tickets and already have their Airbnb set up. And they're going to be here.
There's some folks on the call on this thing.
Say what?
there are some folks that are on the ball about this thing.
Yeah. They're like, into it. And a lot of folks are saying, next year. And I hope folks will plan on coming next year if they can't this year. I know it's kind of last minute, seems like, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And if you're local or you're within 8 hours, you ought to drive it. You ought to just come on out. It'll be fun.
So James, you gotta do me a favor. Okay. I need you to, anytime something of interest for a tourist to St. Louis comes across your desk, I need you to forward it to me so I can start surreptitiously sliding it to my wife.
Okay.
Vacation for next year at NarthexCon, because you're about 10 hours from us. So
yeah, that's
far. We're going to stay for a few days.
You need to fly. So, yeah. You need to fly. Anything over four hours is flying.
We'll make the drive. That's not the problem. The problem is if we're going to drive that far,
got to do some stuff.
That's our vacation for the year. So,
I got you.
So I need, and Keely's been there. She's been up in the arch. I never have. So
there's tons of stuff to do here, man.
That's my current angle. Yeah. I'm going to say, but the boys and I have never been up in the arch. So.
Yeah. You got to come to City Museum. You need to eat. You need to take the brewery tour. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff to do.
These are the things I need. I need to just casually mention them on my Facebook page so that Keely will see them.
How casually and how quickly can you do it? Because the 29th is just around.
Oh, no. Next year.
No. I'm saying.
Did I mention I'm moving?
This year.
Well, I'll be moving June 22nd if things go well.
All right. See, that gives you plenty of time to get set up and get your button gear.
I drove there last time.
Yeah.
10?
Yeah, I've met Janusz. He's been through here. He went on a tour of Route 66, and we were one of the stops.
Yeah, goes right through St. Louis.
That's right. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a awesome, famous frozen custard stand on Route 66. Oh,
I went there, and it was delicious.
Ted Drews, man, can't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's do some weekly updates, or weekly rewind, as we call it. All right, I'm going to let my guests go first. Austin, why don't you start us off with something funny that's happened in the last few days or so?
So I mentioned that I'm moving, and this kind of got dropped in our laps by our current landlords pretty quick, where they're wanting to sell the place. And so we had just come up with like a 2-year plan to save up some money and buy a house. And 3 days later, we got the phone call. Hey, could y'all be out by the end of June?
Oh, man.
So needless to say, instead of taking our time, we have been completely had our lives completely taken over. James, I know you know all about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Recently, we thought we were moving too. So yeah, it takes up all of your emotional energy.
It's really the only thing you can even think about. So we've seen 9 or 10 places in the last 2 or 3 weeks, and thankfully we're in the process with one. So
good.
Now that I've both said it out loud and on a podcast, it's sure to fall through. But hopefully. Hopefully not. So we were looking around, and there are just some weird houses in this area. And mostly we've been looking at condos. So we've looked at like 8 versions of the same floor plan over and over again. Mm-hmm. And some of them just have these random. Why is there a hole? There's like a skylight in a room, but it doesn't go through the ceiling through the roof. It just goes from the bathroom through up into like nothing and just random things like that. And we went into one, but most of them were nice, even if they were weird. Finally got to the one that was just probably not as well maintained, opened a drawer in the kitchen and the face of the drawer fell off in my hand.
That's not good.
Things like that. And there was at first we weren't sure if somebody still lived there.
Really?
Because when we first came in, there was like a table in the dining room area, but then we realized there were no chairs around it and there was no furniture or anything like that.
Mm. So ghosts.
So that was the thing is like, I'm remembering,
it's vampires, mostly
your horror stories with the wolf house or whatever and all the, the creepy things. And, I'm just expecting something, you open up a cabinet and a body falls out or something like that. Mm. And sure enough,
no.
I opened up a what you call it,
the bathroom,
like the
door.
Utility room where the washer and the dryer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
Oh, I said you opened the bathroom door. I was hoping it was the bathroom door, but go ahead.
No, it was the utility room for the washer and dryer, and open it up, and there is the biggest bat.
Really?
Hanging, just like chilling.
Dude.
Ooh.
Are you serious?
I immediately slammed the doors.
Heck yeah. I wasn't wrong about vampires. That was a vampire.
Yep.
That's why they didn't have chairs and tables. They just don't eat. Well, they don't eat at home.
Yeah.
And there were no cars. And that's so later on, or rather earlier today, I texted my boys and I told them, hey, look, I'm going to be on that story show. I need an idea for some funny stories. They're constantly telling me, hey, Dad, you need to send that one in or say that one for the show or something like that. And I was like, I need some ideas for some funny stories. And it auto-corrected to, I need some ideas for some fake stories. I caught it right before I hit send and I chuckled to myself, but then I decided, what if I just did a fake story?
You suck! You suck!
Why would it be a bat, James, unless I was on this show? Why would it be a bat?
I thought it was real and I was feeling it, man. I believed you. I was feeling the chills of a giant bat. I was like,
this in moment,
I had this questions. I thought, how did it get in there? You know, unless it really was a vampire and it transformed and got itself caught in there and couldn't transform back for some reason. I was rationalizing all over the place on your behalf. Never again. But
here's your Gospel of Kinnison moment. It was a lie wrapped in truth
because
we did view some houses and the drawer did fall off in my hands and the house was kind of sketchy. And I was a little bit concerned.
Sketchy. So yeah.
What I was suspicious about was just one bat. You know, one bat hanging out by themselves.
I don't know about bats. Do they have to be in groups? I've only ever seen one bat at a time.
But was it flying or was it just hanging out?
It was just hanging out on the roof of a cave.
Hmm. Usually you see a lot of bats.
I would die if I saw a lot of bats.
That's what I debated going with a lot of bats, and I decided it would freak James out more if it was a giant bat. So
yeah.
And I
didn't imagine a giant bat, like a baby sized bat or anything. but it was bigger than like those little mouse bats. It was in my mind, at least as big as a Twinkie, which would be a scary sized bat.
Oh man.
Twinkie.
I was thinking like
Twinkie bat,
a foot long bat.
And then I was thinking how we nickname all the houses that we went and looked at, like, you know, there was Hill House and you mentioned
Wolf House
and stuff. Yeah, and this would be Bat House. And I thought that's what your kids were going to tell you. Tell them about Bat House. But no, it's all bull crap. So I'm moving on to to Janusz.
All right.
Stresbeck. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, this last week was Mother's Day.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So we all went out with the family to, what is the place? P.F. Chang's.
Oh, yeah. It's a good place.
And my sister, Aniela, and she brought her daughters and her husband.
What's your sister's name? Did you say
Aniela?
Aniela.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you were being racist and saying she was yellow. So.
Nope. So. The whole family. So we got, Nico is my brother.
Where is your family from?
Boston area.
Where do they get their, did they not buy a baby book name? A book?
No, they're Ken and Jamie. And then they said, oh, let's give our kids names
that aren't Ken and Jamie.
Ancestry.
Okay.
So they looked in the Polish and Albanian sides of the family.
Oh, then you lucked out.
And dug it up. No, yeah, my youngest brother is Andrzej.
Oh, boy.
Which is spelled A-N-D-R-Z-E-J.
What the heck?
Whoa. What now? R-A-A-N? Yeah. What?
That sounds like A-N. A Brian Regan joke.
Number 7, the letter...
Yeah, exactly.
Letter Q.
Brenovan-Jen-Jen.
No, it makes perfect sense in Polish. But not in English.
Well, I can't make fun of it anymore if it's not Norwegian. Respect, but man.
Yeah, it's worked out, I think, okay. But, the nieces were there. And little kids always say funny things. So we're just having our food. And my about 6 or 7 year old niece, she turns to me and she says, "Can you speak British?" So I go back to her and I say, "No, I can't," in my best attempt at an accent.
It sounds like Jenna's accents.
But she believed it. She's like, "Yes, you can. You just did." And it moved on to, there's a boy in my class who speaks British.
Like, I love that it's a language.
Where's he from?
He's bilingual.
I think he's from Paris. And I was, are you sure? No.
Nope.
So.
I'm 90% sure on that one.
Let's all hear our best British accents. Janusz, I want to give you another try. So,
okay.
Since you said
we need a test phrase.
All right. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain. Thank you, My Fair Lady. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. The rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
All right. That's not too bad. All right. Austin.
I cannot do this.
Come on. That's the whole point.
Yep.
Come on.
Oh, you got it. Are we doing the rain in Spain?
Yes. Yep.
I was trying to think of a Doctor Who phrase I could throw out, and then you went rain in Spain on me.
Come on.
Let's hear yours. How about let's hear yours?
Okay. The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Perfect.
It was a little cockney there, wasn't it?
I was transported.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Okay.
That's Michael Caine.
Yes. All right, Austin. No. Come on.
Oh, God. I thought I got out of it.
Nope.
Come on. I'm trying. Try.
Dance, monkey.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. The chat room is begging.
Yeah.
Where's the chat room? I can't even see the chat room. I'm just trying to find that earlier.
It's there under that story show on the Discord server.
Gosh, okay. Let me get it. This, you were channeling a little Bert from Mary Poppins there. That's where I was trying to get to.
Exactly.
The Rhine and Spine stays mainly in the blind. That's the way he did it.
Let's see. And of course that is historically the worst British accent ever done on film.
I've been told.
What does he say? Mary Poppins.
See, that's not bad. You could do rain in Spain. No,
that's good enough.
You suck. I mean, how kind of you to be on my show as a guest, and I love you. Okay.
But I suck. Okay.
You did it.
You did a British accent. You spoke British.
I did.
That's the important
thing.
Yeah, I did.
I spoke my British.
All right. So my weekly update is called dog spray. We bought this dog repellent spray.
And, that's better than I was thinking.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it wasn't that kind of spray, thankfully. But no, it's just this compressed gas canister that has something in it. And we don't really know what it is. And I used that to really pull one over on my kids. And I never expected it to go as well as it did, because my daughter comes up to me and tells me a brief story. She's like, "Yeah, I borrowed my friend's slides." And I don't know if everybody calls them that. So they're basically flip-flops that kids wear with dark socks, which...
Adidas ones, right?
Yeah. 20 years ago, old men did that, and it was horrible. Now it's, trendy and cool. But she has her friend's slides, and she's like, the little dog grabbed one of them and brought it over to me. And so I popped her on the nose and I put it back, and it immediately went back and got the same one again. So I sprayed a little bit of the stuff on it, and it went and put its mouth on it, and it kind of shook its head, and then it walked away and then pouted. And that was just so great that it worked. And immediately I knew I needed to make her sorry that she had sprayed this stuff on because she was way too happy with herself. So I casually might have mentioned that it was, did you know that that stuff is actually made of roach pee. And I expected immediately to be called out because I'm a jokester. I'm always bullcrapping my kids. I'm always making stuff up. And they're like, oh, really? I knew I had them. I had something. I was like, Oh, yeah.
It's, you got a bite?
It's roach pee. They, it's, you don't believe it. It's on the ingredients. And so they grab the can and they're looking for the ingredients. And I said, no, it's not going to stay roach pee. It's going to say the chemical name. But, and so whatever it was on there, I had it covered and it was some sort of flagellane or whatever. And so my daughter, I says, yeah, look it up on the internet. She says, hey, Google, what is flagellane or whatever it was? And and Google gave a great response. She said, it's a chemical compound found in blah, 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 and this and that and the other. And it said nothing about roaches, but it did not say anything about roaches either.
It did not say it. That's right.
It didn't
confirm nor deny.
Exactly. It was just the right amount of perfection to make it actually sound legit. So it even pronounced it correctly. However, my daughter said it was wrong. So, so then, my wife comes in and we're mid conversation. So we go ahead. I'm like, yeah, let's just bring Jen along for the ride too. And, so I talked about, I said, baby, did you know that when I sprayed the legs of the couch, that's actually roach pee? And she's like, oh, and the kids are like, yeah, it is. 'Cause we looked it up. And she's like, well, I could see it in her face.
She was, confirmation.
She was grossed out, but you could see it in her face. She's like, thinking that's really gross, but it's better than the dog chewing on my brand new couch legs. So I'll deal with it. Well, I let them think that for a good 10 minutes. And I finally just started laughing and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, roach pee. You guys really believe that this stuff is made out of roach pee? I don't even think roaches pee. I don't even know if they do or not. And they're like, rah, they're all mad at me. They're, you know, I'm getting beat up by my wife.
How do you collect it?
Broke
you. Yeah, I figure you raise roaches on a paper towel, and then every now and then you just come in and wring out the paper towel.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
Wring it out into a little funnel.
So, and then you compress it and put it in a canister and you sell it as dog repellent. But my wife was horrified. She told me afterwards about having sprayed it on the couch, but she had indeed decided that it was worth it to keep the dogs off the couch. Okay. A little roach pee. And my daughter came back later and she was like, I was so afraid of what I was going to tell my friend that I'd sprayed roach pee all over her slides. But so
James, do you have the same problem I do where if you say something that's just even slightly, your kids look at you for a couple of beats and they can't tell if you're being like, serious.
I got this. I'm taking this to the next level. I'm going to ride this train as far as it goes.
Oh, no. I mean, I have the problem where the opposite happens, where I'll be telling them about something that's actually legitimately true.
They don't believe it.
But it's just like a weird science fact or an interesting thing that happened in my day. And they all kind of just stare at me for a second and wait to see if I'm going to laugh. Or if I'm messing with
you, would more, think you know. I would get more of that, but I don't. I think I'm such a good liar. It's scary. I scare myself really. But I mean, roach pee. If you can pull that off, what can't you lie about?
You can do anything.
Yeah.
And there are other repellents that are made from pee of different animals.
Yes. Yes. So it wasn't that far fetched. I mean, you got to wrap the lie around the truth. It's the way it works. Sure. So
yeah, I saw some at the store. They had a coyote
pee. Urine. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Keeps away the coyote.
Well, as exciting as that was, I can't wait to hear you guys' featured stories. So let's jump right into it.
Let me tell you a story.
Let me tell you a story. All right. Let's say rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Let's
rock. No.
who wants to go first? I don't care.
I'll take it away, man.
I'll get it out of the way.
All right.
Yanush. I went first for the what you call it?
Yanush, what do they call you for? Yeah. What do they call you for short?
Like Yanni.
Yanni. Okay. I'm going to stick with Yanush.
That's that. Okay.
Yanni sounds like a saxophone player from the 90s. So
it is.
Okay.
No, that was, so Yanni was actually came up with my, from my, the Albanian side of my family.
Okay.
Didn't like the Polish name they'd given their child. It was my great grandmother. And she's like, Janusz, that is not a good name. Yanni, that sounds more Albanian. I will call you Yanni. And then it just kind of stuck.
Okay. Well, I'll call you right, Yanni.
You were doing a British thing earlier. Your Albanian is even better than your British.
I know, right?
You're trilingual.
Yeah.
You speak three languages. It's great. Yeah.
So, but yeah, Janusz, Yanni, it's either's fine.
I'm going to call you Yan Yan.
Nope. Not in the approved list.
So that's your newest Patreon level, James.
Oh, ooh. Yes.
So as payback, I'm going to tell you that I've been doing a lot of adulting in the past couple of
years. You got the F-bomb.
I got married. Does that count? And then I got married.
You recently got married?
Within the past, like 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Hey, if you consider yourself married for life, that was just the other day.
Sure. But I guess I was stuck in weekly update mode. Oh, you got
married? Last weekend.
Why was that not in the weekly updates?
No, then.
In other news, I got married.
The other adulting, we bought a house.
Ugh.
So
I mean, congratulations. I'm just over the adulting. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's a big responsibility. If anything
fits, those kind of fit.
Yeah. But so it's just called house. Buying a house, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an adult.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not so, adulting.
Yeah. We got a mortgage.
Mortgaging. Like an adult. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm going to help you out.
Very first thing. So I was excited. Very first home repair had came up.
Oh,
where something home broke repair. And I had to fix it myself instead of getting the landlord to fix it or anything.
Yeah. Fixing.
Cause I've never owned a place, but my father-in-law, gave me a bunch of tools.
Tooling.
As a gift. And my wife comes to me and says, "Hey, the toilet's leaking."
Leaking.
I'm like, "Oh, I got this." Yeah.
Yeah.
So I go over and it turns, looking for the leak, and it's the tube going into the toilet tank is just dripping water.
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Oh, it's just a little loose. Just got to tighten that thing up."
Oh.
So I go get my new wrench that my father-in-law gave me.
You don't use tools on that thing.
Apparently not, because the first thing that happened was it snapped.
Yeah, it's a hand tight thing, man.
Snapped right off.
When it's leaking, you just had to replace it there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, uh-oh. I've got this broken hose.
It's draining your tank. It's too
late. Like, fortunately, Home Depot hadn't closed yet, so I went on down. And I'm wandering in there with this sad little hose in my hand. And I
got anything looks like this?
Yeah, no, so there's very few people, so one of the women in the orange vest or
are you apron. Adulting, sir? You look like you need some help.
I'm like, "Huh? Can you help me?" And she's like, You need a supply line?" I'm like, "What?
Oh, yes.
Thing in your hand?"
Yes, I knew the name of that. Yeah.
Yeah, the supply line, of course. It's like, "Oh, they're over on aisle whatever." And oh man, there were so many to choose from, but I got it.
Good deal.
Yeah, brought it back, hooked it all up, hand tightened it.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Learned that lesson.
And so I'm like, "All right, done. First home repair, one trip to the hardware store."
Yeah, that's and a. Then the that's a. My wife
comes back, it's still leaking. What?
It's never the first repair.
No, never.
Did
never
you put the Teflon tape on it?
I don't remember.
Oh.
We'll find out.
If you don't remember, but you didn't.
Check real quick.
Yeah. But I take the So I'm like, where is this coming from? So I take the toilet tank lid off, and a jet of water just starts spraying around the entire bathroom. Like, it's not just going straight up. It's like flailing around.
Please let it be a little man peeing everywhere.
Close.
Oh.
Okay, not close at all, actually. It was the, there's a little rubber hose that goes from one piece to another that had gotten loose.
Yeah. It's,
and so it was just,
it fills the toilet tank or yeah. the jets. Oh. Yeah.
But it had gotten loose, and it was like one of those wacky waving inflatable arm yeah. tube men.
It was selling cars.
It's dancing. Or I've seen there's like a kid's sprinkler toy that looks like this too.
Yes.
But yeah, it basically evenly coated the entire bathroom with a nice layer of toilet water. Fresh toilet water, but
adulting.
Yeah. But I figured out, I put it back in and I tightened it in place and only got mostly soaked. So I survived my first home repair. My wife was telling her father-in-law. She said, yeah, it was like something from a movie. And then he says, like, was it Three Stooges or Titanic?
Yeah, more like
a little bit of both.
Little more like Money Pit.
Moneyball?
No, Money Pit. It's an old movie.
Tom Hanks.
Yes, thank you. So have you ever heard of a wax ring in regard to a toilet? Just wait till you get to that point.
Oh boy.
Yeah, because when you pick up a toilet off the ground,
under the commode, right?
Yeah. Oh. What connects this porcelain throne to the metal pipe or PVC pipe coming up out of your floor is this nasty, sticky, gooey wax ring. And eventually they dry out and they're coated with every bit, just a small sample of every bit of excrement that's ever passed by it. And you get to peel that off and put a fresh new one, and the new one is no better looking than the old one. So when you get to that point, I'll give you an adulting trophy from Target that I saw the other day.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they sell them there. So
you posted a picture of that.
They're $9, I think. And
oh man,
I'll do it though. So. As soon as you replace a wax ring, it could be 50 years from now, and I'll go to Target.
I'll call you up
and get you a trophy. thank you for sharing. If you got through it with just one trip to the hardware store, that's actually a miracle.
Oh yeah. Miracle. No, I'm trying to do sprinklers, and I've had to go to the hardware store like 12 times.
What is it about that last job that made you want to start working on sprinklers?
No, that was like a
let's get our sprinklers outdoors. That's the best thing.
There you go.
Yeah. No, it's a whole year of having to water the lawn and going out there every day and hosing it down. I'm like, what? Why do I have to do this?
This adulting is hard.
Yeah.
I'm going to see if I can get a machine to do my adulting.
It's a fight between how lazy I am and how cheap I am.
Yeah.
Oh, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking in the lawn sprinkler or just running hoses and crap?
Oh, it's going to pop up. It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, those are great until they don't work. And then
yep.
It's pain in the butt all the way through.
You hit it with the lawnmower.
Yeah. Chip. One of them just.
They might find that out the hard way.
I always had one that would just water the street for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, hey, free car wash, everybody. It's not a very good one, but if you happen to come by every 15 seconds, you're going to get a little car wash action if you go by my house. Mm-hmm. We don't have it now. My front yard is the size of a postage stamp, so I could I could just literally take the hose out of the back of the toilet and hit it from here. So thanks for sharing, Janusz.
Yeah.
Let's move on down the row here to Austin. Bring it.
So when I asked my kiddos, they said, why don't you share some of those stories from that camp? I worked at a children's camp in Virginia Beach.
Oh boy.
Summers. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And, there's, I mean, I could start a podcast just on that. the number of stories that came out of that, just my stories, and then just bring on a guest host every week, a former staff member. We could run for years. It would be fantastic. So we had my wife and I worked there. We were there for about 4 summers, and each year we kind of got more and more invested in the place and took on more roles and responsibilities. We were on the older end of the staff. It was mostly like middle schoolers and high schoolers running the place.
Yeah.
So as college students, we were the old sages among the staff. Me and a buddy, Tim, we were there setting up a few weeks before camp. So, you know, we're raking all the leaves out and back into the tree line and fixing the window that got broken or what, you know, and all this kind of stuff, getting ready for camp. And we decided to organize this giant sports bin that we had. It was almost the size of a dumpster, mm-hmm. like one of those like double wide.
It's full of basketballs and stuff or what?
Oh man. So the camp was a ministry. So it was like a, you know, started by church groups and whatnot. And so that means that most of what was there was donated. And so that means you get the most random assortment of things that come in, and anything remotely sport related ended up in this bin.
Okay. I gotcha.
We decided to organize it, and step one was just pulling it all out and deciding, what's what. And we were pulling out, like you said, basketballs. There was like 20 basketballs, and there's, 15 softball gloves and about a dozen softballs, and then, tennis balls and ping pong paddles and tennis rackets and jump ropes, like a bag full of jump ropes. the ones with the like plastic pieces on them. So they're really noisy when you're using them.
The nice ones from the dollar store. Yeah.
Like an elementary school had gotten a new set of jump ropes and gave us their old ones. And we kept coming across the little ball pit balls.
Yeah.
So like McDonald's Playland or Chuck E. Cheese or wherever.
Yeah.
We found, like there was one, and we were like, well, that's weird. And then as we were digging, we found just a ton of these things, and we didn't know why. And just still to this day, don't know why. And we found, literally dozens of ping pong paddles. You pull out a basketball, so you bounce it a few times, and we were in like a multi-purpose room, so there was a basketball net. You throw it, you grab the ping pong paddle, you pick up a ping pong ball, you hit it, those kinds of things. And I found myself hitting one of the ball pit balls with the ping pong paddle, because why not?
How did that work?
Better than I would have expected, which is why I kept doing it. I just kind of whacked it, and I was like, it'll get a little bit of air here.
A little bit
and
of so, fun.
Yeah, so Tim had, he bent over and picked up one, and I kind of whacked the ball over to him, and he hit it back to me, and we're just kind of like, hit it before it hits the ground kind of thing.
Right.
And we kind of, as we're doing that, we started hitting it harder and harder, which meant, you had to back up, and the distance increased, and then eventually we got to the point where we were too far for it to stay in the air, mm-hmm. so we just started hitting it back and forth in whatever way we could, and eventually it was just basically we were hitting it across the ground.
Okay.
Getting further and further apart from each other. With ping pong paddle.
Okay.
Ball. And by the way, we're like 19, 20 years old, something like that.
Okay. That makes more sense now.
Gotcha. Working people, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so eventually at one point I hit it really hard at him. And so that meant he had to hit it harder. And then I hit it harder, but at an angle. And, all of a sudden we're getting competitive. To what end? I don't know. But eventually I hit it really hard and it went past him. And I went, 1 point. And he was like, 1 point? He's like,
what? The game has changed.
Yeah, exactly. It went from co-op to competitive. So he, he goes and gets the ball, and then he hits it and, serves it at me, overhand tennis style, and gets it past me. He's like, ha, 1 point. Or, he's like, 2 points. I got it over you in the air, or something like that. Start hitting it back and forth. And all of a sudden we're like, hey, it's lunchtime. Let's just keep going. So we're hitting this thing back and forth. We ended up turning so that each of us was in front of one of the walls. Think about like under basketball width.
Okay.
We you know, I was in front of one wall, he was in front of the other. And now it was, if you hit the wall behind the guy.
Ah.
Mm.
And all of a sudden we realized we had something on our hands here.
You had a real sport. You made a,
this is how it happens.
So as some of the, as some of the other staff began showing up, we kind of started playing around with this thing. And, Tim and I kind of came up with a lot of the ground rules right off the bat. And the first ground rule, we couldn't use any existing sports terminology. So, because that's in soccer, you didn't get a run or a touchdown or anything like that. So what do? You hit the wall with the ball. So you get a wall. Okay. So that's how you get your points. You get a wall.
Makes sense to me.
Wait a minute. We can't hit the wall with a ball. Every sport has a ball. This is a sphere.
Okay.
So now we've got, you know, wall sphere thing, mabob game. We were in a building that was named after who knows, some guy that was important to the ministry, you know, in the 50s or something.
Right.
His last name was Schaefer. So building, we were playing Schaefer sphere. Simultaneously, the most fun and complicated word to say, Schaefer sphere.
It's like
Schaefer sphere.
Schaefer sphere. It sounds what like it? A level of the atmosphere. You know.
Yep. You got the ionosphere.
Yeah.
No, we're passing through the Schaefer sphere. There's two young idiots hitting a ball back and forth as we pass through. Okay.
It's a sphere we were hitting back and forth.
A sphere.
If you don't mind, sir.
I'm sorry.
So as we got the other staff involved, so we decided it would be 3-on-3. And, you know, as we went along, it kind of, part of the game became creating the game.
Right.
Produce more people, then you got to have, well, you can't hit it like that. Well, why not? Well, that's a rule now, you know, and things
it's
like
it's like a bunch of elementary schoolers playing Foursquare. Well, no cherry bombs. What's that? whatever you just did to get me out, you know.
That's so like, yeah.
Calvin Ball.
Yeah.
What I was thinking of.
What?
From Calvin and Hobbes, they had Calvin Ball where they make the rules as they go. But you guys are sticking to it, sounds like.
And that was the thing is, like, when we created a rule, like, that was it. And because Tim and I started the game, first of all, we would just pretend that there were rules that existed as we made them up on the spot. And then also, we would kind of, like, we would have final say on all of this stuff. Because, again, we're the you know, the wizened old sages of the staff and everything. And you know, we got to the point where there were rules, and so if you violated a rule, well, you know, in basketball that's a foul. Well, we can't call it a foul. Mm-mm. So we called it a chicken.
Oh, I get it now.
No, you fired
that
up too soon. That was too soon, James. Too soon, because we ended up with different layers, you know, how like you have like a, you know, personal foul, and you have, you know, soccer, you have yellow card and red card and all this kind of stuff. Well, if you committed a bigger foul, it was a turkey because it was a bigger foul.
But that's already sports terminology from bowling.
Yeah.
But it didn't refer to the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Three strikes in bowling. So this was if you committed a heinous foul, it was a turkey.
So if this story doesn't end with the phrase "and it's still being played worldwide today," you're in a lot of trouble.
So we kept going, and like I said, every time something came up, we had to come up with, you know, a goof, and particularly the goofier the name or the term, the better.
Right.
Fun of the game was making up the game. So then we ended up with names for the different players on the field. We had assigned positions. We had, you know, like boundaries. I mean, like, it just kept developing and developing and developing. And one kid decided he wanted to, he was like making calls and everything. And I was like, what are you, the referee or something? And he was like, no, we can't have a referee. And then somebody said umpire. And we're like, no, that's a thing. And he said, I'm the umpheree. So we had an umpheree. And then we needed one on one side to see if the ball hit the wall or the sphere hit the wall inside the boundary lines. Needed to stand closer, right? So he was down on that end. So we said, well, what, you know, what's he going to be called? Is he like the other umpheree? And he said, yep, he's the other. So he became the other.
Okay.
And then we needed one on the other side. wall was being hit. So we had the other.
All right.
And just going. So we eventually started writing down the rules, and the way the camp worked was, you know, like in about the middle of the day,
there was a period where, meanwhile, there's a bunch of kids stuck on buses somewhere. They're like, are we ever going to start camp? Because you guys are.
So most of this happened during pre-camp training. During breaks,
okay.
Off time. And then there were break periods during the day. And so like half the staff would go on break at 12, and then the other half of the staff would go on break at 1. So there was 2 hours of Schaefer Sphere happening. And the next summer, we brought it back, and we ended up like teams started forming. Kids started creating team jerseys.
Wow.
They were like full on team names and rivalries and all this, and like team cheers, and people started like rooting for their teams. The kids started catching wind of it, and so they were cheering for their cabin's counselors' teams.
There can't be teams.
You know what? I don't think we even had a name for that.
Can't be teams. Has to be.
Yeah, no, we weren't teams. So my
fellowship.
Was, congregation.
Yes.
There was there. Oh, my favorite group was it was actually my wife's group. Hers was they were Gloss. So you know GLOW, the Glorious Ladies of Wrestling.
Okay.
The Glorious Ladies of Schaefer Sphere. So
oh my gosh.
Going. So the end of the second summer, we actually organized a tournament during the staff retreat. And, you know, it like we got special permission to like go, like we went like all night, you know, went to like 1 a.m. or some crazy thing like that. And then as it turns out, that was for me and Tim, that was our last year at camp with folks over the years and everything. And every now and then I would check in and I'd be like, hey, Ron, like what's going on with Schaefer Sphere? Like, are they still playing? He's like, yeah, man, they're still playing. You know, the games are still going. They're still making their jerseys. I had a kid who was originally one of my campers for my last summer, emailed me one or looked, found me on Facebook and said, do you still have a copy of the rules for Schaefer Sphere? This is like, this is like 7 or 8 years later.
Wow.
And then sadly, and yes, James, obviously we were intending to take over the world with this, with yes. this sport. As it turned out, I never have heard the story. I need to get in touch with Ron. He was there years after we were. Something happened.
Okay.
And about 8 or 9 years after I left, Schaefer Sphere was officially banned.
Whoa.
By the like camp director. It was like, and I never have like, somebody said, oh yeah, it got banned. And I was like, why? And they were like, we don't know. So
no.
You know, the rivalry got too heated, and yeah. not because a kid, you know, broke another kid's face with his
somebody bracket. Must have died. That's the only yeah. thing I can think of.
Choked on a sphere.
That's what I'm hoping is not the case. So so if any old Hope Haven, I'm gonna go post the link for this episode to the old Hope Haven Facebook group. If any of you guys are listening, say hi.
Yeah.
And let me know what happened with old Schaefer Sphere.
Well, I'll tell you what happened with old Schaefer Sphere. With the magic of the retail harp. it was a dark and stormy night. The very last round. Oh, we don't call it round. It's called circle of Schaefer Sphere. The teammates, also known as fellowship friends, were paddling their first. Gosh, I'm having to come up with names of things, and it's so hard. But unfortunately, one young man, his name was Billy. He had a very big mouth for his age. It was exactly the same size as the outer circumference of a playground ball. And he was unfortunate enough to be a kid that spoke and kept his mouth open even when he wasn't speaking. He reached up for the serve, which was called something else other than serve because we're just snarky like that. And
it was called a delivery.
Oh, a delivery. And he received that delivery in his mouth. And it lodged itself deep down into his esophagus, past his hangy downy, way down deep, to where the most aggressive Heimlich maneuver could never reach. And that poor Billy died there that day. And the Schaefer sphere has been banned ever since. And that it's is terrible. The end.
I'm the end.
From one of my first year cabins named Billy right now.
So there you go. And the game is still played worldwide to this day.
Oh, man.
There it is. That's what I needed it to say at the end.
So we didn't serve the ball. You delivered the ball. Unless you did a fake out where you hit it along the ground. Then it's not delivery. It's
DiGiorno.
Was it DiGiorno?
Really? Yeah, that was.
Oh. All right,
somebody said, well, it's not delivery. And I said, it's DiGiorno.
Oh, my gosh. Write it down. Write it down, scribe. I'm not a scribe. I'm a writer downer. Okay. Let's do some listener stories. Is there anybody going to listen to my story? All right. We're in a unique position in that all of our listener stories are audio today. It's just it just happened that way. So this one's called Spider Canoe. By Jeremy Shields from the Neverland Podcast. Here it goes.
Greetings from the Spider Pan of Neverland, also known as Jeremy, host of the Neverland Podcast.
Told you.
I have a story for you, and this is the year that I remember Arachnophobia was out on video, because I remember I had just watched it that summer. But every summer, the youth group at my church, we would go on a canoe trip, or a float trip, whatever you prefer to call it. However it works for you. Well, I was in the canoe with my best friend, Philip, who's now a pastor, and this other guy, Dwayne. But all three of us were in a canoe. I was in the front of the canoe. I think Philip was in the middle, and Dwayne was in the back, if I remember correctly. We, you know, teenagers, we have sometimes a hard time steering a canoe. And this was the Nangwa River, I think, in Arkansas, kind of near Eureka Springs. Depending upon the rains every year, it would, you know, there'd be times the boat would drag bottom. We'd have to get out and pull it out and move it into the water. But it was always a pain in the neck float trip, and it took hours to get to the other side of the river where they'd be waiting to pick us up. Well, at one point, we had lost control of the canoe floating downstream, and we went towards the right side of the river, towards the bank. And there was this tree kind of overhanging in front of us, and we there's nothing we could do. We were kind of getting swept. We couldn't seem to get pushed away from the bank. And we went through this tree, and I, being in the front, it's like, oh gosh, there's this huge spider web in this tree, you know, kind of around where the branches we were about to hit. But I looked and glanced over real quick. It's okay. I don't see any spiders in it. And we kind of just covered our heads, and we went through this huge honking spider web. And we're like, oh, this is horrible, you know, because, you know, when you're walking in the woods and you walk through spider web, and it's terrible, and it gets everywhere, and you're trying to pull it out. But we got through the spider web and thought, okay, well, we're fine. You know, like, all right, well, going back downriver, figured, okay, everything's hunky-dory, and I feel this itching in my legs. And I looked down in the boat, and apparently there had been baby spiders all up in that web, or eggs or something, because I didn't see any of these spiders, but they were all over in the bottom of the canoe. They were crawling up my legs. And I'm like, there's spiders in the canoe! And then Philip and Dwayne suddenly looked down and realized, spiders in the canoe, and we just turned the canoe over, jumped into the water, and we're just flushing out the canoe full of water and all this stuff, getting all the spiders out, drowning all these spiders. Yeah, so, you know, thankfully we were wearing life jackets, but so we had to get all the spiders out of the canoe and then set the canoe upright and try to get all the water out of it and then try to climb our way back into the canoe and then make our way back downriver. You would think that would be the last time I'd ever gotten in a canoe, but no, I've been on other float trips since then, and I don't know why we kept doing them. They weren't always that much fun. There was always usually something that went wrong. My wife is a big outdoors person, and she wants to get in a canoe and do stuff, and every time I get into one, I'm like, what's going to be the disaster this time? Yeah, so, it could be a funny story now, because it scared the mess out of us, but that is my spider story, so. Man. I'd share it. Hope you enjoyed that.
What is the sensation of
tradition?
The feeling of 150 baby spiders crawling up your leg.
Sounds ticklish.
Gosh, I just want to die right now.
They're kind of translucent. You can see through them.
Man, and you know they can breathe underwater. So they're just hanging on for dear life. Man, it's just too much.
Oh, man.
Gosh.
What's worse than snakes on a plane?
Spiders on a canoe. Oh, man. And by the way, that is a canoe trip. A float trip is inner tubes that you just float in. Say what?
I thought that was tubes, inner tubes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tubing or float trips. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
never heard of canoe.
I've never heard of a float trip with a canoe, but you know, whatevs. No. Whatevs.
We have a tube to work day in Boulder sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. People go up to the top of the Boulder Creek and they hop in an inner tube with their business suits and helmets on. And they float down the river.
Wow.
Until they get close to
the transit system ever.
Yeah. It's dangerous. So
sorry, couldn't make it into work today. I died on the river. So,
yep.
But I was trying to get to work. Sorry, excuse. This one's from Forrest Fisk. Shotgun advice. Here we go.
So I'm at Walmart this one day, and I have my kids with me, and they're just playing around trying to get bubblegum or candy or whatever off the shelves, and I'm saying no or whatever, and they're just goofing off, and I'm about ready to check out. And this guy was sitting in one of them wheelchairs, the Walmart wheelchairs. You know, he's a Walmart-looking guy. His belly below his belt is bigger than his belly above his belt, and he's got a cane in his hand, and he's got
I'm already envisioning really thin this
hair, yeah. And I thought nothing of it, you know, it's just whatever. And he looks at his kids, and then looks at my kids, I mean, and then he looks at me, and he talks, and it just didn't make sense. He says, "You got a shotgun yet?" And I'm thinking, what, is there like a sale on aisle 3 or something? I mean, we're at Walmart. What in the world? And he stares at my daughter again. And then he looks up at me without really moving his head. He says, "Have you got your shotgun yet?"
He's a pirate.
And I'm like, he thinks that I'm going to be one of those dads that's like cleaning the shotgun when the girl brings home the boyfriend and I have to intimidate my, you know, my daughter's boyfriend. And I just look at him and say, okay, no, I haven't got one yet. But she's in karate. And she says, "Good for you." I'm like, okay, creepy.
He speaks pirate.
There you go.
It's a different
language. Some voiceover work. That is a fantastic voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want to say that a slight change to that, because I don't think he was saying, are you going to be the dad that's going to be cleaning the shotgun thing? Usually that just straight up means that your daughter is hot. And that is what's scary and freaky about this, is this old man sitting in a chair and he's looking at this guy's kids and he's going, "Yeah, she's very, very pretty. He better get a shotgun for people like me." And that's the scary part.
Ugh. Just outrun him.
It's usually a compliment. You know, "Hey, you're going to need a shotgun for that one." You know, because you don't say that to every daughter. Our dad's daughter, you know, because some of them you're like, they don't need a shotgun. They're not that attractive. You know, I believe I have a shotgun daughter. I think every dad believes that, but it's not always true. And Forrest, I just want you to know that that's what this guy was doing, is he was judging the hotness of your daughter, and he was a freak. So just letting you know, telling you right now. This is called Church Junk, and it comes to us from Chris Tipton. So here we go.
Hey, James and John. Got a story from church last Sunday. The pastor starts out his sermon with the line, "We all got a lot of junk we carry around." Yeah, he even said it like John. Junk. Yeah, my thought is, yeah, us guys do. Thanks, That Story Show, for ruining church for me. Chris Tipton from NC. Bye, y'all.
I felt like I was in a confessional with this guy. Like, I've had dirty thoughts in church because of this podcast that I listen to.
I don't know. I think "Thanks for Ruining Church for Me" is a great review.
It's a great tagline. Yeah. We're ruining church for people since 2006. Somebody was talking.
You're listening to That Story Show. Thanks for ruining church for everyone.
Oh, man. Well, that is all the time we have for this week. Can you believe it? It's already time. Oh, it's crazy. I know. If you if we use your story, then we owe you a sticker. So email us your address. And do you have a story? Then I want to hear it. Do you have stories about bats? We're trying to get some real bat stories for a bat-themed episode. What about road rash? Do you have any road rash stories? What about cooking or being on stage? Just trying to help you think of some stories you can send us. You can send these stories, email or audio, to thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Thatstoryshow.com is the website. Follow us on Twitter at NLCast and review us on iTunes or wherever you found us. If you want more great shows like this one, visit NLCast.com. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Zane Estrada, Janusz Stresbeck, and the same guy, and Carrie Wright. Become a patron today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or, spidery happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, this belongs on That Story Show. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you filling in for John.
No, glad to be here.
And we'll do it again sometime. And everybody, remember, June 29th this year, St. Louis. Go to NLCast.com, click register now, let us know that you're coming. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be so much fun. See you guys next time right here on That Story Show. Peace.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.